This is the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by the Bennett Automotive Group, Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, and by Coastal Car Care. And now, here's your host, Jason Bishop. Okay, coach, so Friday night, I felt like our kids played really, really well, played hard. We come out on the short end in overtime, 34-31 to Colquitt. I guess I really want to start this with you talking about the kids and the effort that you saw out of them Friday night.
Well, you know, I told them after the Warren Robins game that, you know, as a coach, that was about as embarrassing coaching job as I'd ever been involved in. And, you know, it wasn't the kids. I was embarrassed with my own performance, I guess. But I think our kids were embarrassed, too. I mean, I really felt like they felt that way. And so to go from where we were 2 weeks, you know, earlier against Warner Robins to come back out and play that well and fight that well against a team like Colquitt County, I certainly was extremely proud of them. And, you know, we're frustrated. We all are. I think that, and this is what I told them on Sunday, that, you know, if we're becoming a team that hates to lose, which I think we are, and if we're becoming a team that believes they're supposed to win, which I think we are, then we're being successful. And, you know, me, you, everybody in the county, you know, we wanted to show up on the scoreboard on Friday nights, and that's the frustrating part. You know, we haven't had that happen yet, but we're close. And, you know, the only thing I know to do is just keep coaching them like we are, keep trying to convince them that we are supposed to win, and, you know, we're not supposed to accept losing. And, you know, I certainly think we're getting closer and closer to that every day. And it's something that it's a process. But, you know, I was impressed with how they bounced back from, you know, arguably one of the worst nights in Camden County history against Warner Robins to, you know, a really, really good performance that came up a little short against a really good football team.
Coach, you know, looking at the game, Colquitt scores first. They get on the board 7-0, and then we rattle off 21 unanswered. And I'm sitting there calling the game in the booth, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm watching us blow them off the ball on the field, especially there in the second quarter. And, you know, we're up 14-7 with a couple of minutes left to go, and we've got the ball. And, you know, we break a big run with Jamie, get ourselves within field goal range, and then we end up not kicking the field goal. Talk me through that sequence.
Well, a lot of things went into it. You know, my first thought was when we got the ball back with 2 minutes to go was we don't want to give it back to Colquitt. You know, they're the high-scoring team in 7A football. Mm-hmm. We don't want to give it back. I wanted to get to the locker room with the lead. I felt like for our kids' psyche, that would be huge. And, you know, we were in that situation at Marietta, and you know, we were up 14-7, the exact same thing, and we wound up 14-all at halftime. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want that to happen. That was the first thought. So, you know, we ran the ball three times, but on the third one, Jamie busted it, and, you know, we only had one timeout left, but he had a pretty good run. I think it was about 29 yards, 25 yards, something like that. So then we took a deep shot, didn't get anything. So, again, looking at the clock, thinking, you know where we're at on the field and stuff, we became a little more aggressive and wound up breaking another run. Mm-hmm. Took another shot deep, didn't get it, and you know, then we're trying to get ourselves in a position to kick a field goal, and we did. And then I got, you know, probably a little too cute there. You know, it was I don't remember the distance, but it was a fairly long field goal, and Adonis had. He had made one in practice the day before from 52. And so, you know, felt like he could do it under normal circumstances. But he had a knee problem from kicking a tackle he made earlier or something. And, you know, the trainer had told me that he didn't even know if he could go back out. So we were considering faking it. And we had talked about faking the field goal. And we were actually trying to check to it, and we let the clock expire, which was a terrible, you know, terrible deal. But, you know, again, I didn't want to call the fake and half of them know we were doing it and half of them not know we were doing it. And so, you know, we wound up getting a delay of game. And then I felt we were out of field goal range. And so we wound up taking another shot deep. But, you know, in hindsight, getting a field goal there would have been huge. But the other concern was they had come really close to blocking every kick we had.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were worried about it all week. They had blocked several kicks already this year. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, if they block this thing and scoop and score, you know, that's going to be a momentum changer too. So all things considered, you know, I wish we had done something a little differently, put us in a little better field goal range and tried it, because Adonis is a warrior now. He, you know, he wasn't going to come out of the game. You know, I think his range was certainly decreased there because of the injury. And, you know, we were going to get fancy and try to fake it and put a dagger in him was what my thinking was. But, you know, didn't work out that way.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, you mentioned about putting a dagger in them. I said in the broadcast, when we got up, we scored 21 unanswered. We get up 21-7 in the football game. And I felt like that we were just this close time and time again from putting them away. And we couldn't get that one big play, or we'd get that one penalty that would put us behind the sticks. And we never could just get that knockout blow. Did you feel the same way?
Well, I thought one of the biggest points of the game was, you know, we go up 21-7, you know, and our kids are excited, the fans are excited, everybody's excited, and then we let them run the kickoff back almost to midfield. And the very next play, I believe this is the sequence, but the very next play they run, they throw a long pass and score on us. So, you know, our 21-7 lead lasted about 20 seconds, and now it's 21-14. And that changed the complexion of the game for sure. And then, you know, they scored again, tied it up, they scored again, went ahead. And so it was like we had that little run, and they had that little run, and then we had to have a final run to tie it up.
You mentioned the final run. You know, that's one of the best games I've ever broadcast. I've been doing this almost 20 years, and that's right up there. And so we're down 28-21 late in the fourth quarter. And we march the ball down the field, primarily throwing the ball down the field, and we get in the end zone, and then they call the touchdown back on us. What happened?
Well, I'll start with the drive. You know, we got it with like 3 minutes to go. I think we're like 85 yards, you know, away. And I mean, you know, people told me later that, you know, a lot of people were leaving the stands, and, you know, I mean, it happens. I get it, but you know, I don't think a lot of people expected us to go 85 yards in 3 minutes, but I got to give credit to two groups of people. One, our offensive assistants did a great job coming up with, and they have, you know, we have a good 2-minute plan. And, you know, first time really that we've had to execute it, and, you know, under that much pressure, and they did a good job with the play calls. And then our kids did a great job executing it. And, yeah, we scored. And, you know, I saw the flag come out, and, you know, I yelled something out there that I probably shouldn't have yelled out. But, you know, holding's one of those deals in high school football. You could probably call it every play if you want to. And, you know, it just seemed like a very strange time to call it to me. And when I watched the film and I saw it, I don't mean this to be bad, but I could not find anybody that was holding. And where the referee threw the flag, he was not even looking in that direction. The umpire threw it. He was looking on the other side, and then he threw the flag on the backside and called it on one of our backside guys that was not involved in it. But, you know, again, he saw it something differently. And, you know, I can't imagine being a high school referee, because they don't have the benefits of instant replay and all. And you see how many times that has to happen. But it wasn't a good time for a holding call, I'll just say it like that. And that's kind of what I said to them. And, but, you know, to our kids' credit, you know, I was still mad about it, and they were still getting ready for the next play, and they did a good job, and we wound up scoring there.
I think I even said, because it was, it seemed like a late flag to your point. And I said, well, gosh, we already shot the cannons off.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should have pointed them in a different direction. Yeah.
We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about getting into overtime and what transpired in overtime, and we'll look ahead to Tift. More to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
Every athlete knows that if you can't play, you can't win. Hi, I'm Dr. Bo Sasser with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. We treat a variety of sports and non-sports injuries with proven expertise in joint replacement, arthroscopic surgery, and physical rehabilitation. With the support of Southeast Georgia Health System, our orthopedic specialists are committed to getting you back to your life quickly.
Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS, that's 1-855-275-7447, or visit sghs.org. Buying a vehicle doesn't have to be a headache. Come to Bennett Auto Group in Kingsland for the easiest car buying experience you've ever had. Your number one hometown dealer in Camden and in the Southeast. Number one in volume. Number one in new cars. Number one in certified pre-owned. Two locations to serve you a mile apart on Highway 40 in Kingsland. 912-729-5266 or 912-729-7100. The Bennett Auto Group, where you are treated like family.
For 15 years, your friends at Coastal Car Care have been here to help with all of your car needs, from oil changes to tires, brakes, alignments to, well, you name it. Your friends at Coastal Car Care are always here for you when you need them. At 5225 Highway 40 East, right next to the St. Mary's Road overpass, Coastal Car Care is proud to be here for you. Check out our specials for military, ladies, seniors, teachers, and first responders as well. CoastalCarCareGA.com, 882-5005.
Welcome back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff here on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine, Orthopedic Surgery, and by Coastal Car Care. Okay, Coach, so we have the penalty. Take the touchdown off the board, reload the cannons, and doesn't matter. We still get in the end zone. Talk about the play you called to get us into the end zone, or that major call.
Well, I didn't make the call, but it was something that we had run successfully earlier to the other side of the field. And it was a really good call, but they covered it well this time. And you know, Gray saw that and pulled the ball down and ran it in. You know, he probably could have thrown it to one of our three receivers, but you know, it was a lot safer deal for him to run it in right there. And, you know, it was a very heads up, very smart decision on his part. And, you know, he did a good job. And he did a good job on the entire drive. So, yeah, you know, that was a good one. And, you know, I thought about going for two. Mm-hmm. That went through my mind. You know, again, a lot of things go through your mind in those situations. But, you know, I told someone earlier that I've always felt like, you know, a decision about going for two and or playing for overtime kind of comes down to, do you feel like you have the momentum or do they have the momentum? And I certainly felt like we had the momentum. And, you know, Lord, we had like 470 yards of offense that night. So I didn't think they could stop us in overtime. And so, you know, I felt like with the momentum, with that, the how we had played offensively, that we could go out there and be successful in overtime and give us a better chance of winning doing it that way.
Well, you know, we get the game tied, and then they march right back down the field, put themselves in field goal range, and I couldn't believe, calling the game, how quickly they got themselves in field goal range, because I think we only left them like 20, 30 seconds, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe in 45, something like that, when okay. We kicked off, but I could be wrong. But yeah, and it was very frustrating too, because, you know, they just kept running the same thing over and over. And, you know, we were trying to get the right call in defensively, and the kids kind of, you know, a lot of pressure there, a lot of noise and stuff, and we kept blowing the coverage. And they were smart enough to take what was there. And, you know, we didn't want to give up a big one, but you can't give up too many little ones in that situation either, or you're going to find yourself like we were. But they did not have a good kicking game, and we knew that coming into it. Their field goal kicker really struggled, and so, you know, felt like they were going to have a hard time kicking a field goal unless they got really close. And so we were playing a little looser than we should have, or normally would have, but we wound up playing a little looser than we should have probably.
So then they line up to kick the field goal, and I believe it was Zach Andrew that blocked the kick. Boy, he's made so many big plays this year.
Yeah.
And so you get the kick blocked, and you get yourself into overtime.
Well, the block, you know, the ironic thing about it is, you know, we work on that all the time. And when we block from one side, we have a guy on the other side. His job is to be there so when it's blocked, hopefully he can scoop it and go score. And our guy was there. He got probably a little far too inside, and it caromed off of Zach so hard it just shot straight out of bounds. But had it been kind of a normal block situation, we may have been able to scoop it and score on the last play, and that would have been a heck of an ending right there.
Yeah, that would have been great.
You know, again, we didn't, and we go to overtime.
So we get to overtime, and we get to a 3rd-and-11 call, and we elect to play for the run there, get ourselves, make sure that we get the field goal, and 3rd-and-11 call. Did you think about throwing it at all?
Yes and no. You know, we had two, I thought, really good calls on 1st and 2nd down, and on 1st down we bobbled a snap.
Mm-hmm.
And we came back, and I thought the 2nd down call was a perfect call, and for some reason we weren't completely set, and we didn't block the right guy at the point of attack, and we didn't get much out of it. And so on 3rd down, we actually had a pass called, and I intervened and said, no, listen, I said, we're going to put the ball in the middle of the field and make sure we don't get a sack and take ourselves out of field goal range. And you know, a lot of things went into that decision. One, the last overtime game that I coached in was a state championship game at Grayson against Roswell. And we kicked a field goal when we got the ball first, and then they missed theirs. And again, I thought their kicker wasn't that great. And so I thought a field goal was really big here if we can kick it from here. But Adonis was banged up, as I mentioned earlier, and I didn't want to make it more difficult than it was, already. I made that decision that, look, we're gonna play for the field goal and get the lead, keep the momentum, go out there and either, make them try to kick a field goal to beat us or go to the next one. I didn't think our chances were great on 3rd-and-11, and I did not want to lose yardage and take ourselves out of field goal range. In hindsight, would I have done something differently? If I knew they were going to score a touchdown, absolutely. But that's the disadvantage of getting the ball first. And, we had that coin toss. As the home coach, you don't get to say anything, So when we lost the toss, I knew that was it hurt us. There was no question. You always want to be on defense first in overtime.
You're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. So, Coach, we kick the field goal. We get up by a field goal, and they went through a sequence on offense where they committed penalty after penalty, and if I'm not mistaken, they had themselves in overtime backed up to their 40-yard line or our 40-yard line, and it was like 1st or 2nd and goal from their 40.
Actually, it was 2nd and 23.
Okay.
You start on a 15, and so – they were 2nd and 23, and that one hurt. They ran a play that we had actually worked on, prepared for, and their tight end wound up getting jammed on a line of scrimmage. And when he did, we lost him in coverage, and it almost turned into like a tight end delay, and that wasn't how we had practiced it. And when he didn't come off the line clean, I think our guys lost him in coverage, and he made a huge catch got it down to where now it was 3rd and 8.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole lot different than it being 3rd and 23.
Sure.
So, when we had them 2nd and 23, I was feeling pretty good about it at that point.
Yeah, me too. They pick up the 1st down, then they get themselves, right there at the goal line, and we've got a 3rd down. We hold them out of the end zone, we get them to 3rd down, and obviously, if we can hold on to those 2 or 3 yards, wherever they were, the ball was spotted on, then we force them into a field goal and maybe they make it, maybe they don't. We don't know. We'll never know. And there's this, they called this play where I felt like they called it a couple of prior times in the game and had a lot of success where they almost just kind of dragged a receiver right past the line of scrimmage to where it wasn't really deep enough for our secondary to account for him. And he just makes that easy pitch and catch, you know, basically a 2-yard throw. And he catches it, and, you know, he's 2 yards away from the end zone. It's going to be tough to keep him out.
Well, you know, I made a really bad coaching decision in hindsight right before that, because in overtime you get one timeout. You can take it on offense, you can take it on defense, but you get one timeout. And so they lined up, you know, on the third down play, and I decided to call timeout, kind of like a basketball deal to, you know, see what play they might run. We talked our kids through it, whatever. And to their credit, they came back out in a different alignment, ran a different play. And they went to a bunch trip set. And, you know, we decided to put pressure on him. And, you know, I thought it was the exact right call defensively. And but we were playing man coverage. And they were in a bunch set. And, you know, not saying it was a pick play or whatever, but whatever he calls, you know, these days, rub play. He got lost coming across, and you know the guy that was supposed to run with him didn't run with him, and he, you know, because we had blitzed our linebackers, we didn't have anybody else there, and they picked it up. He caught it and scored, and that was all she wrote.
So final score 34-31. We go down in the region. We fall to 4-4, and you know I tell you this. I told you this earlier before we went on the air, and you said, I don't really know what that means, but this is the way I feel. I think we're the best 4-4 team in the state of Georgia. I really do.
Well, you know, again, I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but, you know, it's frustrating because I certainly feel like we're better than being 4-4. But we are 4-4, and we have to deal with that, and we have to make the most out of it. And, you know, I told my story yesterday that in 2008, probably overall the best Camden team we ever had, offensively and defensively. We're playing here in the second or third round, probably the third round, and we wound up playing a team from Woodstock that had entered the playoffs 6-4 in the fourth seed. And had they not made a critical error in the fourth quarter, they beat us. And, you know, nobody expected them to be worth a dime. They had four losses and were the fourth seed and all this stuff. And they had upset, you know, first round, second round. They come down here and dang near upset us. So, you know, all you got to do is get hot at the right time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were certainly a lot hotter this past Friday than we had been 2 weeks before. We just got to stay there. We just got to continue to play well, you know, and when we get in the playoffs, do the best we can with that. And so far, our kids, I think they still believe that.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll be back with the Jeff Herron Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, we're from the sponsors.
Buying a vehicle doesn't have to be a headache. Come to Bennett Auto Group in Kingsland for the easiest car buying experience you've ever had. Your number one hometown dealer in Camden and in the Southeast. Number one in volume, number one in new cars, number one in certified pre-owned. Two locations to serve you a mile apart on Highway 40 in Kingsland, 912-729-5266 or 912-729-7100. The Bennett Auto Group, where you are treated like family.
Every athlete knows that if you can't play, you can't win. Hi, I'm Dr. Bo Sasser with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. We treat a variety of sports and non-sports injuries with proven expertise in joint replacement, arthroscopic surgery, and physical rehabilitation. With the support of Southeast Georgia Health System, our orthopedic specialists are committed to getting you back to your life quickly.
Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS. That's 1-855-275-7447 or visit sghs.org.
For 15 years, your friends at Coastal Car Care have been here to help with all of your car needs, from oil changes to tires, brakes, alignments to, well, you name it. Your friends at Coastal Car Care are always here for you when you need them. At 5225 Highway 40 East, right next to the St. Mary's Road overpass, Coastal Car Care is proud to be here for you. Check out our specials for military, ladies, seniors, teachers, and first responders as well. CoastalCarCareGA.com, 882 882- 5005.
Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment is brought to you by the Bennett Automotive Group. All right, Coach, so 4-4, 0-1 in the region. We got to go to Tifton, play Tift County. I believe they're 5-3 on the year, and they've had a pretty decent year. New coach, new regime, new scheme, all that stuff they're doing over there. Basically, I don't want to call it a rebuild, but certainly they're trying to do things a different way over there. Looking at team for team on roster, should be a good game. I think maybe we're a little better.
Well, that's hard to say. We hadn't seen them in person, but watching them on film, I think they've improved each week during the season like we have, and that happens. You change things, it takes some adjustment time, but I've got a good friend that works there that coached for me before. He played at TIFF, went to school there and everything, and he's told me, they've improved greatly as the season's worn on, and they played Lowndes fairly tough last week. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a tough one. I mean, you got two teams that are kind of in the same boat.
Yep.
And, both of us coming off our first region loss, and it's going to kind of be who wants it more and who can rebound the quickest. And again, we have to go on the road, but we see it. Sometimes I think we focus better on the road. I've always thought that about teams usually. So. We've got to handle that. Hopefully we'll get a good following of fans and, have a loud, boisterous crowd. That'll sure help us. And we'd like to see that. If you guys are listening, we'd like you there and be there early and all that stuff. But, it's an important game. We're in a position, unbelievably, that we can still win our region, winning mm-hmm. these last two games. And we're also in a position we can finish fourth in our region if we don't. But if we can win these last two and the chips fall in some other games the way we need it to, we can wind up still being region champs. And that's the message to the kids.
Yeah, it's a good point. The loser of this game most definitely is, at best case, a 3-seed head to Atlanta in the first round at best case. If you win, right, we beat Tift and then Lowndes beats Colquitt. What that sets up is, of course, Lowndes then comes to us the following week, and if we handle Lowndes, to what you were saying, then it creates a three-way tie at the top of the region where Colquitt's beat us, we beat Lowndes, and Lowndes beat Colquitt. And so then tiebreakers come into the equation. In the event that happens, what kind of tiebreakers are we looking at?
Well, honestly, I don't know exactly. What I think it is that if you wind up head-to-head tied with somebody, head-to-head doesn't break it, the first tiebreaker goes back to points allowed in the region. But, honestly, though, Jason, we've got to beat Tifts. That's, I can't think about Lowndes or anything else, and our kids can't. Our folks got to be on Tift because Tift's in the same boat as us. If they went out and Colquitt beats Lowndes, they can be region champs.
Yeah.
So, both of us are in the same situation, and, I'm sure they're telling their kids that, how important this game is, just like I'm telling our kids, you got to win this one, before you can talk about the next one.
What is Tiff going to present to us that, I'm sure you've seen film that concerns you a little bit?
Well, they've got a guy on their defensive line that's committed to Georgia, and as you know, Georgia's got a pretty good defensive line, so they don't take just anybody up there. Kid's a phenomenal player. Their other defensive line personnel is really good. They're very tough to run on, and that concerns me, of course. And then offensively, they're not like anybody else we've played. They're more like us in terms of they want to run the ball. They run some option stuff that you got to be really sound on. And they had some success on Lowndes last week with their option stuff. And if you don't take the right guy, if you don't play a good assignment football, you're in trouble. And it's not easy to get ready for that in a week. Just like it's not easy to get ready for the wing T in a week. Mm-hmm. Both of us are having to kind of get out of this spread mentality on defense and get into more of an option run based offense mentality. And again, they do it in practice some, we do it in practice some. So, you know, who knows? It's I think this one has a possibility to be a little more defensive-oriented game, you know, kind of like Coffee, because we're a little more similar than we are with some of the Colquitts and Warner Robins and stuff.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for the Camden County Coaches Show with Jeff Hare on the Bishop Media Sports Network. And like Coach Hare said, come on out to Tifton and support your Wildcats. It is a huge game for sure. So let's make the short trip over there. Let's go Wildcats.